Well, last night, The Tonight Show. You watch The Tonight Show? You have to shake your. You have to say yes or no.
I shook my head no.
Okay.
I was sound asleep.
That voice, by the way, comes from Lorain County horticulturalist Charles Benke.
He's here to give us some advice about
TV shows. No?
Of which I have none on TV shows.
He spends his time in a book about bugs. What do you think, he's watching television anywhere?
Yeah, what do you think?
Maybe the National Geographic Channel, perhaps, or something like
that? Don't have that. Get all my channels over the air. I am cheap. And I don't subscribe to cable TV. I use that antenna that was left on my house. Good thing I never took it down because it has come in very handy.
The birds land on that a lot and use that?
Occasionally, and a few little twangs have come off from the thing, but it still works.
Okay, we were looking out the window here watching the birds. Now this is when the weather, a little warmer, snow covered. This is when all the robins start coming out, right?
And that, the they've been here spring. All winter. The majority, not like the majority of that, but the, let's say the lingering ones, or the ones that weren't smart enough to figure it out to go south, I guess, have been around. And they've been very busy eating things such as the holly berries that are on the holly that's out there. They're on the hawthorn trees. It's a small kind of red-berried tree at this time of the year. If you have some privet hedges around your house, they're eating those blackberries off from the privet. Also, they love the crab apples, especially those small fruited ones. They're much easier to eat, but as the larger fruit freezes and thaws, it becomes soft enough and they can get that down for a meal.
You know, talking about birds that migrate, in a couple of weeks, we will have the buzzards returning to Hinckley in Medina County. Now, do they really return or are they there year-round?
That I don't know. You'll have to get an ornithologist to talk to you about
that. He's a horticulturalist and a, what's the other thing you?
Sometimes bird watcher.
What's the bug news? Don't you have a bug?
Oh, an entomologist. Hmm. And we'll be bringing out those people tomorrow down in Akron because we have a regional pesticide recertification school that I'll be at. In case any of my landscaper friends are out there listening, I'll be there. Registration tomorrow morning, bright and early at 7:15 in the morning. At the John S. Knight Center. This is where people who have commercial licenses, such as your landscapers, lawn care people, exterminators, have to come in for recertification from the state of Ohio at least once every 3 years.
Do things change a lot in that industry?
Surprisingly, it does change quite a bit. Right now, there are new insects, but there's new products that have been coming online that they need to be told about, you know, precautions on
using
things.
So what happens is usually you get more warnings about the stuff you're using.
Yeah, you often get a lot of warnings. And like the people who work in ornamentals, they will update if there's been any specific insect increase that they've seen, because that does happen, surprisingly, with our weather variations. Every year is a little bit different. And
so you're like the flu people.
Kind of like the flu people, yeah.
Where they determine what kind of things need to be, you know, preventative because we suspect that maybe there'll be an increase in a certain sort of, this time a real bug.
I would guess, you know, just my prediction, disease-wise, we will not have as much powdery mildew this year because we had a very cold winter. And powdery mildew, remember Lenny and Squiggy? Was it Lenny who, or was it Squiggy? Squiggy had his powdery mildew collection, or whatever it was, his moth collection. I think he had a powdery mildew collection, too.
Oh.
But that would have gotten killed off this winter.
You did watch some television in your day, I guess.
But Laverne and Shirley, they're my favorite.
Did you prefer Laverne or Shirley?
Well, they're both okay. Right. They're both goofy.
They
got rubbed off.
Well, Valentine's Day just passed.
Yes, it did.
And many people maybe handed out flowers. Not those people from 1-800-Flowers, where apparently they had a whole big problem with
they
that.
They had a conundrum, didn't they?
What's the problem? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah, they had, let's see, 1-800-Flowers still in the doghouse after its Valentine's Day flop. Unhappy customers say the company's phone lines are jammed. Online complaints receiving automated replies. Hundreds of people across the country were disappointed last Friday when their orders came damaged, wilted, or not at all. Companies sent out nearly 400 personal apologies on Twitter and is offering refunds and discount vouchers to affected customers or something like that.
Only 400 out of a couple thousands?
Well, they're working on it.
Working on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, anyway, if you had some flowers delivered to you,
yes,
and they still should be doing reasonably well, but I would tell you to take them out of that water right now. Hopefully the water that you added the material to help extend the life, the flower extending material, and recut the bottom of the stem. No more than about an inch has to come off, and that'll set up a new water column within the roses or other flowers that you've received. You might be able to get a couple extra days out of them.
What is that powder?
It's generally acidifying agent. Usually it's citric acid that's in there, and then just an antibacterial material that's in there.
So it does work.
Yeah, it does work. It actually does work. There's this whole thing that was done, I don't know if it was done through Ohio State or through one of the other universities, called the Chain of Life, and they looked at cut flowers through the whole chain from harvest all the way to the final consumer and looking at points where things could be done to try to extend that flower life. Because if you don't treat cut flowers nicely, you don't get like more than maybe 2 or 3 days out of them. That's like when you pick your own bouquets and don't, you know, add some of these flower extending products, they won't last as long.
Can we start seeding or getting growing things indoors?
Surprisingly, we can start doing it. You know, you think, oh, man, bad day today. Why don't we think about, if you get a chance, once streets get plowed, take a trip over to your local garden center and maybe buy some onion seed. If you're into onions, not the onion sets, but just onion seed, want to do your own, you could start your own onion seed and own chive seed right now, and they would be of the correct size to be planting out. Now, you mentioned tomatoes earlier. No, it's way too early to do tomatoes. We don't want to start those until the end of April, actually. That seems kind of unusual, but you get them, if you start them now, they're going to be so tall, you aren't going to be able to move them around and be flopping all over in your windowsill.
Hmm. How important is it to get these things planted then outside?
Well, it will be once the temperatures moderate, and we have two kind of groups of plants, the cool season crops and the warm season crops. The warm being, you know, the tomato, the pepper, the eggplant, and cucumber. Those wouldn't go out until like the first week of June, basically, unless we have a warm spell. Who knows what the weather's going to be. But there are those cool season things like the cabbage, cauliflower, onions. Those can go out quite early in the springtime as soon as we have temperatures running above basically about 40 degrees or so. They'll tolerate that.
You know, this kind of weather, people putting down de-icer, that type of thing on the, you know, either on their driveway or you get stuff on the roadways as well. What's the impact on our plants?
There is going to be some impact from all the salt, especially if you've done it in your little local driveway situation and then shoveled that salt on top of your, like, azalea bushes or rose bushes. You're going to raise the sodium content around there, sodium and chlorine content around, and that's quite hard on root systems. Our rains are very beneficial in the springtime because salt does move through the soil relatively quickly, and so that's helpful. But if you've really dumped on salt around some of your ornamental plants, I would say get in there and make sure you water and get rid of that excess sodium.
What's happening in my compost pile right now?
It is. It should be. If it was done right last fall, it should still be kind of like Mount Vesuvius. It's nice and warm inside there. And if you want to do something today, here's another job for the little kids. Send them out and fluff the compost pile. Surprisingly, take the snow and work it on the inside, because I would guess that the inside of the compost pile is actually dried out from the bacterial action that's been going on inside there, and it needs a little moisture just to be reincorporated again. So your compost will be ready by late March, early April.
All right. Well, we appreciate our time this morning. You got one more question for him? Or are you gonna?
I only want to know when we need to have you back for the sort of like
transition.
Yeah.
Into planting.
Late
March will come in.
Cutting grass and getting that all ready.
One thing, if you're thinking about cutting grass, make sure you get your mower sharpened now. Now's the time to get it into the shop. But the lawn mowing won't start until about April 15th. You always think of that with taxes and lawn mowing.
Both. What about when for prepping the lawn, though, putting down different things?
No.
That's when we need you back.
You have to see the lawn first, right?
You got to see the lawn first.
I don't even know if it's still there.
We'll come back and see you late March, early April again with some things.
All right. Charles Banky, horticulturalist, joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.